W2AW, mobile.
Good afternoon, Dave. Off flying again, W2T at home.
Just leaving from the flying field, Rusty. Nobody broke anything. It was a good flying day.
Why did you go flying today?
Flyers up on Roddy Road. 357 and Roddy Road, you know where that is?
No, I haven't seen that one before. I may have been by it, but not realized it was there. And I thought I'd seen all of the fields around that people use. And they've still got this one over here and out here at, out here my way, out near the park out here. So I don't know whether anybody's been out there flying lately. It's out at Campcroft State Park, out in the area like you're going out to it. It's out that way near the near an old landfill area out that way.
Club, is it?
Yep.
Ah, okay. I've never been to their field, I don't think.
Used to go out there to out there. It's out there in the park near Campcroft State Park, and it's out there near the where the horse rings used to be for the horse shows that the horsemen's organization I used to belong to and take pictures for.
The mostly helicopters, aren't they?
When I went out there to watch them a couple of times, they were flying fixed wing stuff out there.
Going to their website and seeing about 100 helicopters sitting up on their landing skids in the nose, all of them lined up with the pilots behind them.
I don't know. I haven't been out there in probably 10 years at least.
Listen. He flew today like 6 or 7 times, went around and touched and landed for the first time in 30 years and didn't break anything.
Well, that's always a good thing that you don't break something, because when you break something, that means then you got to pay for it, and then it gets expensive.
So he didn't break anything. He'd been landing gear, but that was about it. And I just put that in a vise and bend it back, and you're done.
I was going to say, you bend the landing gear. I've seen that happen when I used to go out and take pictures out there at the Spartanburg Field and everything. And they watched them fly down there, and I've seen several of them bend some landing gear, some drastically.
Well, my thermometer gauge on my car, it says it's almost 70 degrees out here, 69 degrees.
Yeah, and if you like today, you'll love tomorrow, because it's supposed to be about the same thing.
Well, it was supposed to be zero wind today, but there was like 16-mile-an-hour winds, 16-mile-an-hour gusts out there today, so it made flying not quite as much fun, but still, got to do a bunch of flying.
You see, it makes it more interesting when you have to try a little harder. At least that's what several of the pilots I used to watch fly used to tell me. It always made it interesting, and you had to just watch a little bit harder.
Gary, yeah, that's correct. You do have to. It's not just a little bit. It's a whole lot. If it's just a little bit, then the wind will knock it up on its edge and down on the ground it'll go. Go ahead, Jerry.
Hey, Dave. I was going to ask you how was the wind today. It was kind of windy when we went down to Walmart before lunch, but cooked some hamburgers out after lunch today, and the wind died down. It was really nice outside, just a beautiful day. Sounds like from what you described there, it was a little windier than you felt comfortable with. Anyway, maybe tomorrow will be better.
That's the day it was windy, but toward the end of the day, it did start to lay down a little bit and got better. But that was about time we were packing it in. We decided we're going to go out a little bit later tomorrow. That airfield is up on a hill, and it's like reaches up into the wind more than normal places would. So it is going to be windier out there, so we decided wait a little bit later in the day to go so it died down. And I took some pictures of that airplane because that Google name that I gave you gets you close to what that one's like, but he was out there again today, and I took some pictures I can send to you if you got an email address you want me to send them to. That's the strangest looking pattern plane I've ever seen. It's called a Pandora.
I got my QRZ address. I think it's got a live at live.com. use the same address, use the same beginning address, and just use it gmail.com. That way I'll be sure and get it. I use that live.com address just as a dump address for most of the stuff. But I'm getting our QRZ, just put at gmail.com instead of live.com. I did look at that plane yesterday, though, Dave, and there were several variations of it, but the one I saw had like a small wing on top and a large wing on the bottom. It was real narrow. I was pretty fascinated by the design. Go ahead, Rusty.
Yeah, hey, Jerry. Yeah, I haven't been out to a flying field in ages, and used to go out to the one here in Spartanburg and take pictures all the time. But I haven't done that in at least a coon's age, as they say. So that's about what it is there anyway. But good to hear both of you. I'm going to let you go back to I'll let you two talk for a little bit, and I'll get back over here and try to figure out what I messed up with here on this spreadsheet I'm working on. I'll catch both of you later. W4DJW, take it. This is W2T73's, Dave.
Talk to you. Yeah, make your way back out there to that Spartanburg airfield. Yeah, it's a lot of fun. There's just as fun as it was when you were doing it last. And, Jerry, this one's got three wings. It's got the large middle wing, which is a very small wing by comparison to the fuselage. It's a very small wing. And then it's got two even smaller wings, one on top of that small wing and one underneath of that small wing. And then the fuselage is, like I was telling you, it's really, really skinny, really tall, and really long.
Well, through the images there, and I saw what I thought was a similar one, but I don't really have, you know, there were multiple versions of that plane, and they all looked a little different, but the one that came closest to the one you were describing, I only saw two wings on it. It might have been a third wing on it, but my son and I were looking at it last night, and he said, "That's pretty cool looking. Doesn't look like anything you crashed in the past." I said, "No, it doesn't."
And that counter-rotating blades, the blades are, they're pretty big. They're a lot bigger prop than on the normal pattern plane. I don't know, they're probably a foot and a half in diameter, maybe even two. And there's two of them. They're kind of, so the mechanism to make that counter rotation work, and the way that his speed controller works, he can use that as a brake. He can stop them, and then he's got 30% reverse that he can plug in it to slow it down. And I'm thinking he uses that on the outside of an outside loop when he's coming down to keep it consistent. He was doing some circles, some loops, and they were perfect circles. And his speed didn't change at any part. You know, normally when you're coming down the back side of the loop, it's a lot faster than when you're going up the front side of the loop. His was all the same speed the whole time, and they were perfectly round circles. It was amazing. I wish you could have been out there to see it.
Gets consistently warm, and things ease up a little bit. I plan on going out there to watch sometime when you guys are out there, especially to see what's going on. But I bet that plane was not inexpensive. It sounds pretty complicated.
No, if you look at those ones that I was pointing to you, just the base, just the starting point, all right, just the launch point, not without all the extra stuff that they put on them, is like $2,500 for a plane. My planes cost $40 a piece.
It set you on fire when you saw it, though. That's a lot of money to put in a plane. I remember when it first came out with, gosh, I want to say it was Cavan, whoever it was that came out with this fiberglass Bell jet radio. Those things were really expensive for the time, but they weren't anywhere close to that much money. And those things crashed a lot. I'd love to see one. You know, I tried to find one. I could see a YouTube video of one flying, but I got tired of something else and didn't check it out. But I have to see the one that you're talking about, see if I can find that particular one, because it really would be interesting to see that thing fly, especially making those loops like that. That's, I mean, you got to have enough speed on, you know, you got to have enough speed on a loop. There's just not a lot of way you can make a nice loop and try to slow down too much. It wants to die straight down. That's an interesting set up, but obviously it aerodynamics on it and propulsion situation, it takes care of it. It's kind of like having a, kind of like accelerating a car and having a brake on at the same time, I guess.
I think that's the trick. I think it's like you said, in a car, if you want really, really good control of the car, you've got the brake and the gas pedal on at the same time, and you're letting up off of one or the other to control it. And I believe that's what they're doing. But anyway, Pandora, you know, F3A Pandora, I think we'd probably find it. But I'll shoot you these pictures that I took of that one that was out there today. I didn't get any of them in the air because I didn't have anything I could zoom in with. But I was telling Steve yesterday when he was out there flying that he looked like he was flying through molasses, right? It looked like the air was molasses, and he was flying through the molasses, and he could put it exactly where he wanted it, in the molasses.
That counter-rotating property got a lot to do with that, plus the design of the plane, plus the counter-rotating property. I don't think I've ever seen that. I can't think of ever seeing a counter-rotating prop situation on an RC plane, but like I said, I really haven't looked at them in years and years, but that's an ideal situation. So you say the prop is a foot and a half in diameter maybe or more?
It's big because the airplane, when you walk up to it, the top of the fuselage, when it's sitting on the ground, the top of the fuselage is probably halfway between your knee and your hip. That's how tall it sits up. It's nothing like pattern planes used to be. And I remember I used to look up the price of those pattern planes. They were like $1,200 back then. These are over double that. Some of them are up to $6,000. So, yeah, it's a huge difference. I can imagine the counter-rotating prop itself probably costs more than pattern planes cost back when we were flying.
I hear that. That's a complex situation. And the controlled... I'm going to have to really dig into that. How do the control on the counter rotating prop? I'm just curious as to how if you control control both props or just one. I mean, control both of them at the same time. Or obviously, evidently, you'd have to have separate controls on both props, I guess, wouldn't you?
And you do. He was explaining it like there's a clutch mechanism in there that's similar to maybe a set of differential gears. And whichever one of them's going to turn, right? Not necessarily both of them, but one of them's going to turn. And when he was doing the maneuver that is coming down the backside of the loop, he was using the counter-rotating props as a brake, and you could hear it. It sounded like an engine spitting back, but it wasn't the engine. There were electric motors on them, so there was no engine there, but it sounded like an engine. It was the blades, I guess, doing battle with the air between the blades. That's the best way I can describe it. But it sounded like it was popping when he was slowing it down on the back side of the loop.
It's electric. I didn't notice that. Gosh, that's something then.
You have two 5,000 milliamp hour battery packs. 10,000 milliamp or 10 amp hour battery in that thing. It could draw 10 amps for 1 hour. That's a lot of electricity.
Well, I get the lithium pack. That's still a lot of, is it 12 volts? That's still a lot. That's a lot of weight, too, isn't it?
It is, because I don't know how many cells, if it's, the higher the cell count, when cell count goes up, voltage goes up. So when cell count is low, it takes more current to get the same amperage, right? I think those are four cells, but I'm not 100% sure. But I know he uses two of them. That's a lot. One of those will power my multivotor for 13 minutes, one of those packs. Two of them would power it for a half hour. But and his flights probably last 10 to 12 minutes apiece.
I'd love for people to see that. That really sounds interesting. It sounds like it's made a quantum leap in RC, but I guess like anything else, it's kind of like what they used to say about cars Yeah, how fast you want to go? How much money you got?
That is it. I mean, it's interesting to me, and I like looking at it, but I would never invest, just like I didn't back then, back in the days when they were $1,200. I just couldn't make that kind of investment. I do half of that for a helicopter, but that's about as far as I go.
That's a whole different story. I've been looking at videos on the Mavic Mini 2, and I said, man, that thing is, it does have a home button on it too, which is something I think you mentioned yesterday. I was pretty impressive for the money. To be, I know it's not a very big drone, but it's pretty impressive for the money. And so I'm gonna click the add to cart button sometime soon, I think. Although if it gets too weird, may have to not fly it much because of the wind situation for the next month. But still, I was pretty impressed with it. It just does not look like it's. I mean, I'm sure you can make it challenging to fly, but it appeared to me, as long as you flew with you were in good, where you were in an area that you had a little buffer around it, and the wind wasn't too high, and it'd be a joy to fly it.
Well, really slow, like you're just like out on the back porch, and you're just flying it, figure eights in the backyard, or around circles, or maybe once in a while you go behind a tree and come back out from behind that tree, but there's no limbs on the tree, so it's just a trunk that you go past. When you do stuff like that, little by little, and build up your skill, and you build up your confidence. I know that sounds like nothing, but that's not nothing. That's a whole lot of something. The first time you fly behind a tree, and you're trusting that it's going to come out the other side of that tree, right? I'm talking about a tree trunk, not a whole big tree, just the trunk. So when you do that, that builds confidence, and you do that multiple times. I have the camera on when I'm doing that, and I'll bring it in and put it on the big screen TV, and Amy can watch it. And then one time I was sitting there in the chair at the driveway. Maggie, my dog, was out there with me. And I flew by myself, so you could see me in the picture. And then I went to the backyard, and I turned, and I went across the backyard, and I turned, and I came up the other side yard, and then I turned, and I came across the front yard, and then I turned and went back down the driveway again, and you could see me again. And she looked at me and said, you did that without following it? Because in the past, I always walked with it. I'd walk behind it, and I'd fly it around the house, and that was baby steps. And then at some point you get confident enough that you've done the baby steps enough that you can do a big step. And she caught on to that. I was amazed that she caught on to that. Yeah, I was sitting in the chair the whole time, and it went 300 all the way around the house.
And that's probably the most difficult thing for a former RC flyer to do, is to be able to look at it through the camera instead of trying to watch it all the time. Because it is pretty small. I can see where you could see it very well if you got up to above, far away, as small as it is. But trusting that camera and where it is, and I've got a big backyard. I was looking at everything yesterday when I can't remember who the other guy was who was talking about having to register them and that sort of thing. And from what I understand still, though, if it's under 250, it's, some of those, that safety training is not, based on what I looked at FAA website, that safety training is not mandatory if it still is under that criteria. I can see registering myself and that sort of thing, but I don't think you have to register an actual drone unless it's above a certain weight category. Is that correct?
Yeah, he put it really good. I like the way he worded it. You're a recreational flyer or you're a commercial flyer, one or the other. So as long as you're not making money off of it, or there's no potential for you to make money off of it, like putting YouTube videos up, which is a potential to, right? So that crosses the threshold. As long as you're recreational only and you're under 250 grams, then yeah, you're being registered yourself with the FAA, having an FAA number is all you need, really. I don't think you need any training for any of that. But the way he put it, I like it better than saying it that way. The way he put it is, there's 8 pieces of criteria. They assume that you're a Part 107 pilot, and there's 8 pieces of criteria that have to be proven to prove them wrong, right? I don't have all 8 of them listed, but if you're just flying recreational, you're under 250 grams and you're not making money off of it, and you're not flying, you know, you're in the class of airspace that is not controlled airspace, then you're pretty close to meeting all that criteria.
DJ Fly yesterday, and I was looking at the restricted, I mean, the airspace deal, and I'm not close to either flight path, so I'm in a pretty decent area. Also, the other question I wonder too is this privacy thing with drones, that the law they passed, I think it may have been a couple of years ago. Now, the way I've read it, and I don't know whether I'm reading correctly or not, as long as you're over your own house, you're okay. But if you go in somebody else's yard, is there a problem with that? Or, I mean, am I reading that correctly, Dave?
Well, you can't fly over people. You can't fly over proper people and property and stuff like that. You can't fly near any events. There's a ton of places you can't fly. It's not just controlled airspace. But if you're, like, flying out over the woods or you're, there's an app also that you can get where you want to fly, and you can plug all, I mean, you can use the GPS and it can figure out where you are, and it can tell you, it can get you an approved flight plan. But that's mainly once you become Part 107 certified. But, yeah, I wouldn't be flying over anybody else's house. Flying over the woods probably isn't, you're not going to get in any trouble. If it goes down, it's going to get hung up in a tree somewhere. But wouldn't fly over any property or housing or people or anything like that. Anything that has the potential to do harm to people or property, I wouldn't fly over.
The way I interpret it, so as long as I'm on my own property, I'm okay. That's because I wouldn't fly very high to begin with. Yeah, I just want to keep it about 6 or 7, 8 feet off the ground, maybe just, you know, flying circles like you're talking about until I got the lay of it. Wife told me, said, first thing what you do when you get it, if you don't have to fly it, is inspect our gutters.
I do that all the time, and all it does is tells me, yep, you're overdue on the gutter cleaning. That's all it does. So, but it is fantastic for that.
I told her, I said, well, it's just going to tell me what I already know. But anyway, I thought that was interesting. That's the first thing. She thought of a practical application for the first thing. But anyway, I'm gonna be pulling the trigger on it sometime soon. It just looks like it'd be a really cool thing to do, and especially something like that one. That's got enough headroom here where I can, where, you know, I won't be outgrowing it anytime soon. Plus, it's got all the right stuff, you know, especially getting that package where I got the extra batteries. That's a big difference. That's really a good deal.
Yeah, if you're going to do it, I would definitely get that, fly more, not as an afterthought, right? Because it costs a little bit more if you do it as an afterthought. Well, I'm backing in the driveway, Jerry. Good talking to you. Appreciate the ride home. W4DJW.
W4DJW. Jerry, both of you still in there?
Good time out there. And Steve's listening. Hello, Steve. Hope you had a good, sounds like you had a good afternoon as well. Talk to you later, Dave. N4DJC.
Would you be interested in a used drone?
I already got my heart set on a Mavic Mini 2. Because I know a little bit about that one, and I'm learning more about it. Plus, I didn't mention it, Dave. I think I got my brother. You know, he's a drone. That's what he does. He's a drone guy for the government, so he works in Georgia Tech. So he told me that's the one you need to get too. So I think he's either got one already or gonna get one too. But anyway, I appreciate the offer, Steve. I think I'm gonna go with this one. As far as I know, I am. I may or may not anytime soon. It just depends on when.
Yeah, what are those running now?
It's about 560.
Oh, that's not bad at all. That's not bad at all. What I've got is a DJI Phantom Pro SE. A Pro 3 SE is what it is. And that thing, it's pretty smooth. They're fun.
above the weight limit, though, isn't it?
Weight limit for what?
Well, the 250 grams for the weight limit for recreational stuff.
Does that mean that it can only be flown professionally?
Check it on the FAA website or something, but if you fly above 250 grams, you got to have it. You got to have it registered with the FAA. I don't think you have to do anything much other than that, though, unless you're getting paid to do it. But the rules are fairly simple, but anything under 250 gram weight, total weight, doesn't have to be registered at all. But that means you probably still ought to have yourself registered with the FAA, but there's some limitations to that as far as whether they consider recreational or not, whether or not you have to have it licensed or not.
Okay. Well, I was under the impression that the minute that you put it on YouTube or something of that nature or accepted a fee for flying, that's when you had to be, you had to do all that other stuff.
And I think the cutoff is 250 grams, which is a little bit right at 8 ounces, I think. And these mini twos, they're like with everything all up at 248 or 249 grams, so they don't have to be registered at all. Anything over 250, like I said, it's kind of complex. I'm just dabbing my toe in. It's kind of complicated. Some of it was complicated to me anyway, as far as, you know, whether you consider it to be, whether it needs to be registered or not, or, if anything is like Dave was saying, the other Amazon yesterday was saying, if it's something you can be paid for, you got to do that part 107. Otherwise, if it's over 250, I think you have to have the register with FAA, and maybe some other rules coming along later this year that may have to be applicable to that particular anything over that weight range.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm gonna have to look into that. Well, listen, I just destinated here at the house, and I'm gonna go in and get ready to go get my wife. I've got to be down there to pick her up at about 10 after 5. She fell Sunday and broke her foot.
Yeah, I heard Dave say to me something about she had to leave the field the other day. Is she doing okay?
She chipped a bone in her foot, one of her metatarsals. And believe me, she works at an orthopedic clinic, and she is milking it.
That's a great place to be then. My nephew's in his fourth year residency in orthopedics at one of the hospitals in Atlanta now. He's going to be a good one, I'm sure, but gosh, they don't do that stuff for free, Steve. But I'm sure they'll take great care of it, though.
Oh, yeah. All right. Well, listen, you take it easy, Jerry. I will talk to you again soon. K4VWA, clear after your final.
Okay, Steve, have a good afternoon. Hope she's still doing well. M4DJC clear.
K2RCL mobile.
I'm off for the day.
So I'm finally glad. It's been a whirlwind of activity the last 2 days. How's your work been going?
I'm good. No problems at all.
For that, nothing wrong at all.
But this job, I only have to worry about Ken.
Hey, that's what makes me miss those days.
Whole day without some kind of people issues.
Is not just my shift. You know, B shift messes up. Unfortunately, everybody's on A shift to come look at it.
Kind of talked me into going out there. I'm kind of glad I didn't.
It has its ups and downs, just like every place, I guess. But, I mean, I've been there, dang, what is it, 21 years, I think I'm coming up on. I mean, I've enjoyed it. It's fun. I like the stuff we build, but then there's it's just those days it hits where it's just like, man, I just want to do something different.
I was out there 21 years at the other place.
I don't know what else I would even do. I've been there so long.
Until you start looking, I just passed a car, broke down the side of the road. One driver's wheel, one front wheel was straight, and the other one was about at 45.
Drive like that?
You got something wrong.
You got any plans for the evening?
I got to get home and walk the dog, and that's about the only thing that I absolutely have to do.
I'm going to see if I can make myself call CQ on 20 and see what happens.
I can listen for you.
Last night, by the time I heard the guy and gave a signal report, and, you know, he told me where he was at and everything, I talked back to him, and then I just barely could make him out. He was barely making it through, and then the van just died on me.
See that before, and you just have to kind of wait till it starts coming back up and then jump in there real quick.
A while longer, and I never heard anything, so that was enough for me that one time, so it was time to get off and go to bed.
He said a headphones and a new mic, so he's going to try to wear us out this weekend.
What's going on this weekend?
This weekend? I think it's this weekend, isn't it? The South Carolina and North Carolina CUSA.
Oh, this is the first I've heard of it. Now I'm interested.
I think they're like just 24 hours. I think it's South Carolina and North Carolina.
That one out. I got to work Saturday, which I should be home at lunch. So hopefully I can work some contacts after that. But yeah, I'm going to have to look and see what the rules are.
I've been going to that 8-day calendar. I forget who puts it out, WA something. And it has all the rules and everything right there.
That one where, like, each contest is like in little time blocks, and when you click on the title, it takes you to the overview of the rules, basically.
Yep, roger that.
Tonight, as a matter of fact, because I'm sitting there just listening, you know, just seeing how everything sounds, and all of a sudden people started calling CQ contests. I'm like, what in the world? What contest is going on in the middle of the week on a Monday night? But it was only like a 59 minutes, you know, right at an hour segment for this contest. That's all it was. Some kind of single side band contest that was only an hour long. I honestly couldn't hear it. I mean, like I said, on 40 meters, I got a lot of QRM, so it kind of drowns my receiver a little bit. Or it could be the infed halfway, but I don't know. But so I was checking SDRs, and there's one maybe around Colorado, somewhere in that area. And I was listening to it and started hearing people call CQ contest, and I even heard it on my receiver eventually. But it just kind of piqued my interest. That's when I checked the calendar.
You know how the conditions are tonight. It may be pretty good. Maybe. I hope so. There ain't no storms close anyway.
Supposed to be a solar storm that was hitting some point in time. You know, I guess it's all guesstimation, but supposed to be either today, if it's later tomorrow, you know, we won't get much of it. I don't know. I don't really know as much about that as I would like to, but I was watching some YouTube with that Samantha, whatever her name is, and she was talking about it.
Coming up on a good cycle here before too long.
I've heard a lot about, like, 10 meters being, you know, the propagation being so good and everything else. I'm curious to hear it because I've only seen it in little short bursts. I work plenty of FT8 on it, but I'm curious to actually hear what it's like whenever it's actually a good solar cycle.
5 watts and a wet noodle, and you can work the whole world.
I mean, obviously not a wet noodle, but, you can just have such a low signal and be able to work so much. And even, like I said, even on times, there's been FT8. That was whenever I hit New Zealand, man, I was excited.
New Zealand, too with my radio on 100 watts. I thought that was pretty impressive.
Doing FT8 on 10 meters, so I don't even know that I was running 100. I'm maybe 50, and my radio wasn't really set up real well, but even still, once I saw it appear on that whatever web page I used to show the signal reports, and then when I finally made the contact, my wife knew about it. She definitely knew that one. KO4CN.
Yeah, me and Ed, we were playing together in that, and I told him, I said, hey, New Zealand was on, and he got him, and then Hawaii was on, and he grabbed that one, too.
This is tough. I need, whether it's FT8 or even voice, I still need Alaska, Hawaii, and Montana to be able to get mixed mode work all state.
North Dakota, Nevada, Utah, and Washington.
Just wanted to finish it. You could always do it on FT8, I'm sure, but because, I mean, for me, Washington, California, those get lit up pretty good. It's just, I don't know if there's not that many hams in Montana and that kind of area. I don't see much signals come from them when I do actually get on FT8.
Think about it. I'll have to maybe study up about it. I don't even know if my radio will do that.
The rest of them, you put the right thing to it, like a signal link or something. The only reason why I really enjoyed the ICOMs, because it's just one cable, just USB cable, and that's all you really got to have.
It has a USB outlet on it.
Which, if things pick up, I mean, it's like if solar cycle does pick up, I mean, you might not have that many issues once that happens.
What, last summer, I mean, I was talking three or four times to an operator in California, just like me and you talking here.
About it, I mean, whether it's one hop or two hops or whatever, you know, that's the thing that's always kind of drawn me towards ham radio, just that idea of being able to do that, just bounce a radio signal that far.
Think about how it actually works, but when you think about that, then it really is impressive.
And just the conditions that have to be right for you to be able to make certain contacts, crazy. I go, when I get on 26, and there's a hawk sitting in a tree just watching the road over 26.
I see the yard the other day, and that, we were, me and the neighbor were both standing out there.
I don't feel them that much. Now I feel like you see them a good bit. I got one in patrols. I think he scares my birds off my bird feeder all the time, him and the cat.
Ground bird seed out in the field to keep the doves and that off of my feeder and that, and then he has a field day down through there when he gets hungry.
And the doves feed him. That's working out pretty good.
Yeah, he keeps them off of the feeder there by the house, and I get to see all the good birds.
Here, I've actually had a, what was it? Was it a pleated woodpecker? Been visiting my bird feeder. I don't think I've ever had that happen.
That's one of them great big ones.
One or the smaller one down. It's got like speckled spots on it. So it may be one of the smaller ones, and I'm thinking pleated, but it's got spots all over it.
The red-bellied and the sapsucker and the flicker, and that, they all come there. And I got chickadees and titmice and stuff like that.
I'll be out of the house, and my chickadees will go crazy. They'll be sitting in the tree still hollering at you when you walk them by.
The goldfinches are starting to come in pretty good.
Yeah, for them, maybe put some thistle out.
I'm pretty hard. I got some that sunflower seeds that's already shelled, and they're hitting it. I haven't got any thistle seed yet, but it won't be long, and they'll be headed back up into the North Carolina mountains.
Put some of that out then, get my bird feeder cleaned up.
Seed on the ground for the those dark-eyed juncos and the the white-throated sparrow and the towhee and that they like eating off the ground under the feeder.
Yeah,